Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and of course, the proud host of VFE. And today's guest is a dear friend from Ohio. He's not going to agree with me when I say this, but subjectively, I think she is one of the pioneers, one of the catalysts across the country when we talk about AI integration, new emerging technologies, even the fact of changing the paradigm of instruction with artificial intelligence and technology. She's one of my go-tos, right? If I know something or need to unpack something when it comes to artificial intelligence in education, when it comes to technology and this whole paradigm shift of the model, there's no other person that I turn to is Candace Sears. Candace Sears is the Director of Instructional Services for the Montgomery County Educational Service Center, but more importantly, she's leading the work in Ohio when it comes to AI policy as well as regulation. So without further ado, my friend from Ohio, how are you, Candace Sears? Welcome to Voices for Excellence, my friend.
Thank you, Dr. Connor. I'm so delighted and honored to be on your show today. So thank you. Thank you. And those words were super kind. I guess I need more time with you. You're gonna introduce me like that. That's fantastic. Definitely not necessary, but thank you.
It is definitely necessary with the work that you're underscoring with so many leaders in the state of Ohio, just not even Ohio, across the country, Candace. So thank you. Because sometimes, you know, there's these quote unquote lone wolves out there when we talk about changing a system in this really broad, bold context, but you are doing it in such a way that I like to say is surgical, but it's intentional and the intentionality is getting results. So glad to have you here. And Candace, this is just imagine that we're sitting at an event and we're just talking about AI and geeking out. Only thing is, it's about to be broadcasted across the world. But no pressure at all, Candace.
Here we go.
Here we go, my friend. But as I stated before, and I really want to underscore this, you are one of the national voices in AI and education. And currently with your role as a Director of Instructional Services for the Montgomery County Educational Service Center, Candace, if I was to ask any education stakeholder across this country, what song will they say describes your current work in the AC stage of education? And AC means after COVID.
Oh, good question, Dr. Connor. All right. I would say Unstoppable. We'll go with that one. You know, that song radiates fierce determination and inner strength, the kind that defines, I would say, my leadership style, while also reflecting empathy while driving purposeful change, blending that heart and hustle. So a little blend there. I think about the lyrics, I'm unstoppable, I'm a Porsche without brakes. And when I think about that specific line, I think about like that parallels my momentum in transforming education for Gen Alpha and Gen Beta. And then I also think like a leader's presence in a room, the song builds powerfully inspiring. It builds powerfully, inspiring others to rise and believe and act. And I think that that's what we have to do as leaders in today's world. Be a leader who makes people feel seen, makes them feel supported and inspired to take action. And I would say that final point is most important, is inspiring others to take action. It's not just about being strong. It's about making others feel like they can be too.
Absolutely, Candace. And I'm just writing down the high-level themes that you stated within your answer. I really appreciate the song that you stated, Unstoppable, right? Because when I think of this fourth industrial revolution that we're living in, that is essentially this world of technology and AI, we have to be unstoppable, right? And you highlighted two of the most important generations because they are our clients, our customers, I like to say, Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. And you, the points that you presented, determination, inner strength, empathy, underpinned by purposeful change. And we have to have this kind of like this, be this Porsche without brakes in the context of changing this model for Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. But more importantly, I really want to stretch that word empathy, right? Because empathetic leadership is needed when we're going through radical transformation, redesign that's underscoring, I like to say, a new fluency and a new literacy that has never really been introduced in education in totality. I always say this, Candace, we have to be unstoppable because this is the perfect time for not just systems coherence, but global coherence in the context of the education model. But Candace, I want to get into your role as the Director of Instructional Services at the Montgomery County Education Center in Ohio. First, for my audience that don't know your specific role within Montgomery County Educational Service Center, what is your role with working with districts, superintendents, and leaders and teachers, not only just in Ohio, but now I want to stretch it out across the country? And then second, Candace, how is your work addressing what I always like to say is the core of any educational model, right? How is your work addressing the instructional practices and challenges through the services of MCESC?
So as you mentioned, Dr. Connor, you know, my title is Director of Instructional Services, a very broad title. So who knows what that really, really entails and means. But I've been really blessed and honored to be here at the ESC, where I've had the opportunity to really like grow and develop and pivot as needed. So as you mentioned, just the transformation and the pace, you know, what this department looked like 5 years ago, 10 years ago is so different than what it looks like now. So it started out with just your typical curriculum, academic side of things, but we've really built true transformation and impact for our schools. So I think about high level, anything academic, anything grants management, state initiative, anything that comes out of our Ohio Department of Education and Workforce, a lot of that work ends up running through the Instructional Services Department so we can better support districts in implementation. And then post-pandemic, had a lot of our districts were not sure, you know, how to manage kids remotely as well as kids in person. They didn't want to lose enrollment, so they wanted to keep their kids enrolled, but then to ask teachers to work with kids remotely as well as in a class seemed to be a stretch, just where everyone was at the time post-pandemic. So opened up a K-12 remote learning center. To be really clear, I don't believe in 100% K-12 remote learning. I think there's got to be a nice hybrid blend. We promised our districts we would do that for a year and see how it goes. And lo and behold, it's been well over a year and we're still off and running and have really enjoyed that program that we're able to offer our districts and students. Pretty cool opportunity there. So I run a K-12 remote school. And then we also, let me hop back. We actually do have meetups with our kids and opportunities for our kids to get together. And so they have some virtual meetup things, but then we also do some in-person things, which is really, really amazing. And then a few years after that, maybe actually a year after that, our superintendents and building leaders continued to struggle with the behaviors that they were seeing in middle school and high school. And so we continued to hear like the number of suspensions and expulsions were continually increasing because they were following their policy and their handbooks. And, you know, we in our mind were like, okay, like, why are we sending kids home for up to 120 days of school or 100 and now it can be unlimited days of school? Why are we sending them home when clearly they need some additional support and some wraparound services? So by suspending them or expelling them, that didn't seem to be in our world, like, what are we doing? The connections aren't going to get any better. The achievement gaps are going to continue to increase. If students were being suspended because of vaping, that seemed to be a high tick of infraction, that their addictions aren't going to get better by sending them home. Now they have more time and flexibility. So we talked to our district leaders and said, hey, you know, if we were to build a program for these students, would you be interested in maybe giving them a last chance effort before expelling them? And, you know, our districts are like, we'll do whatever we can to help our kids. So we were able to open up what's called the Future Self Center. And the Future Self Center is a very restorative approach to dealing with students that are at risk or students that are struggling. It is very hands-on. We do a lot out in the community, and it's our alternative to expulsion program that we built. We have some amazing, amazing success stories for the kiddos that we have had the opportunity to serve in that setting. which has been unbelievable. Because what we do believe is we believe that if students have a future self vision and if they have hope, a lot of times you will see a very different motivated kiddo. We've seen an increase in attendance in school, like the kids are showing up. We've seen a decrease in discipline behaviors. And then as we've transitioned kids back into the school space, we've also seen really high success rates of those kiddos transitioning back. So yeah. And then just in August opened up an international learning center, which we have, we've got an increase in newcomers here in the Dayton area, and really wanted to support our districts, not just the students and the families, but the teachers and the systems that were receiving these kiddos and families. So it's a full, we serve students, we serve families, we serve the community, as well as our teachers and our district leaders out in our schools in the International Learning Center.
Amazing work, Candace. And to my audience that are out there, again, and I'm saying this from an objective and subjective lens, the ESC of Montgomery County out in the Dayton area in Ohio, innovation galore, Candace creativity, the level of innovation that's being underscored is unbelievable. Candace, I have a few follow-ups because again, kind of replicating back in Ohio, you know, I have a lot of follow-up questions, as you're saying, so you already have that prerequisite of how I am. But Candace, I want to talk about the wraparound services, right? And specifically how you design a program and a model to meet the attributes, the learning attributes, the characteristics of Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. We continue to see, I like to say, stifling discipline procedures and protocols that mirror the industrial model, right? That we have to sit in our seats, we have to act in a certain way, we have to learn in a specific manner, regurgitate information, when the attributes, the learner attributes, the core characteristics of Generation Alpha and Beta are the antithesis of you and I. So when we talk about wraparound services and the intentionality with that design, Candace, how do we make that into just everyday practice for our practitioners and leaders so that now, just as you stated, you saw your discipline rates go down exponentially? But again, I think that right now, when we think about the AC stage of education, those are just next in class practices and best practices in alignment to the generational attributes of the constituents that we're serving. So Candace, how do we broaden those practices where now it just becomes innate for our leaders and our practitioners?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's definitely something that I continue to be pretty motivated and determined that, you know, we're going to change the system. We're going to change the approach. So what we've been able to do here, again, just we've really tried to build some models, because oftentimes we don't know what we don't know in education. And a lot of our educators and even our leaders, they went to school as students themselves, and then they went to school to learn how to be teachers or how to go back into the education system. And they went back into the education system. And so they've got a very, very narrow perspective of what schooling is. And so I think that, you know, I think there's a big difference between schooling and learning. And if we can really transition that mindset shift, what I have found that the pivotal piece has been is the energy that comes from a different approach. So the intrinsic rewards and the high energy. So as we've built these programs, Dr. Connor, we've been able to see like teachers are excited again because they're seeing a very different kid. Our leaders are excited because they're not getting as many referrals, or they're like, oh my gosh, like Candace's mom is not calling every day at the school. Like, what is going on? So I think that if we can continue to model and we can continue to show, action is invaluable. So if we can show educators and education leaders how it's done, we can shift that culture and start really transforming. And really all of that is just organically grown through, I think there are like three big pillars that I think about: future readiness, reimagining the student experiencing the student experience, and leveraging emerging technologies. So if we have those three big pillars, if you will, then everything else can organically fall within that. And then we do start to shift a culture and a mindset. And at the ESC, we really like always say, like, we want to work ourselves out of a job, because, you know, for me, like, if I don't have any students referred to this Future Self Center or to the Remote Learning Center, that's a win. Like, I'll go build another program, or I'll go support, or I'll do this AI work that I've been doing in Ohio. There's plenty of work for all of us. So how do we build models and really support our educators and our education leaders to think differently about their approach?
Well stated, Candace. Well stated. And to my audience, you know, those three buckets that Candace highlighted, I think those are system level buckets that nationwide we should all adhere to. Future readiness, absolutely, when we think about Generation Alpha, Generation Beta, in order to be in alignment with their generational needs and learning attributes, we have to reimagine learning. But Candace, this is what I marvel at with you and your work in Ohio nationally, is around leveraging emerging technologies. And Candace, moving into the next question seamlessly, is that, you know, there have been many legislative and policy recommendations that are being discussed with depth and breadth. Great. Love that. Love seeing the conversation that's going on with regards to leveraging emerging technologies and artificial intelligence. And everybody has this universal agreement that we must embrace this new digital paradigm, specifically within the shift of the educational model. Now, you've been working closely to level set this in Ohio as well as nationally. But when we think about this, right, the work that you're underscoring with Alex Catron and AIEDU, the work that you're doing at the ESC, you know, when I think about this, you've been supporting districts hand-on, right? But now when we think about this, how, with the new legislation and the policies within districts, how are you supporting the implementation of this? Moreover, how is your work strengthening the instructional model for leaders as well as teachers, not only in Ohio, but nationally as well?
So I would say in Ohio, like, all the stars aligned. It's not like the magic of Candace. It literally is like, it's the magic of, finally, I feel like people aren't working in silos and like everything's aligned and working together. So really fortunate that now Senator Husted was our lieutenant governor. He had been working very closely with the AI Education Project, AIEDU, on some policy work and some of the more workforce side of pieces. And then Ohio, and through Innovate Ohio as well, which was Lieutenant Governor Husted, now Senator Husted's work, they had put together this AI coalition group of multiple stakeholders and various perspectives coming together. And then we, as an educational service center, were also working very closely with AIEDU in regards to, how do we like build those practitioner level components? Like, how do we help a district build policy? How do we help them? What should we do with recommendations? What are some model practices that we need to embed? How do we really take an entire state, so not just one of our districts or the 16 public districts within our county, but how do we really build foundational AI readiness, AI literacy across the state? So when we speak the terms artificial intelligence, we're all on the same starting point in regards to this core foundational level. So with that, AIEDU was building this toolkit, this K-12 toolkit, and it was designed for K-12 school districts. It's multiple, it's like 150 pages long. We were like, there's no way that our district leaders are going to be able to, like, now we can put it in. We've got some really cool AI tools that can help us summarize and pull out the big pieces. Just to be clear, we don't necessarily need to read the whole thing. But how do we take that from my level here at an educational service center and make that digestible and very like step-by-step approach for our districts to start building some of this? In the meantime, also, we were working with AIEDU on, you know, we wanted to build these summits across the state. How do we create opportunities for all different folks in the education space to come together to learn from some of the national leaders in this work across the country? So we hosted, the year before last, we had 4 summits that we did. And then we had monthly PD opportunities. What we also did, Dr. Connor, was we identified AI champions across the state, because, you know, in education, there's a lot of really amazing work happening, but it's like, how do you know what's happening across the state? Where are those pockets? So we have folks actually build like or identify AI champions across the state. And we then hosted and offered PD sessions monthly for them to really build that capacity so they could go back into their systems and into their regions to support schools and teachers and leaders.
Just love the work. And Candace, thank you. I had an opportunity to my audience to present at one of the AI summits. And again, the work that Candace, as well as Alex and on the ESC in Montgomery County are doing to leverage this, it's just absolutely phenomenal. I really just love your statement of rounding, building AI readiness and everybody starting at that same core. Intentional, Candace, because the two words that are so hard to achieve in education, alignment and coherence, you're starting everybody at that ground level and building that readiness for capacity around integration and implementation. I love that when you talk about model practices and the AI champions, where now best practices is distribute in this, I like to say, horizontal manner where other leaders are leading other leaders and teachers are leading teachers around these AI champions. Again, like I said, I just marvel at the work that Ohio's doing specifically from a legislative and policy standpoint. And Candace, if you can, because I think that this is a nice core complement, expand on the work that you're doing for workforce development. Because when I think of this 22nd century, specifically around the 22nd century education model that we have constructed an agile evolutionary group, I always like to say that now we really, when we think about generation development, generation beta development, is around leveraging emergent technologies, your second or third bucket that you highlighted, and then also now this workforce development focus. You mentioned it in a couple of your answers. Can you unpack that as well? Because I don't think that we have this, which is good, strong collective emphasis around AI literacy and fluency and readiness. But the complement of that, if we're truly leveraging that, we're starting to see industries balance both AI and these new industry and focuses with workforce development. So can you expand upon your work with workforce development in Ohio that complements the AI work that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to say, Dr. Connor, like this work, it was really important to bring the right folks to the table for this work. So like our Ohio Department of Education and Workforce, they actually are the ones that supported the year one and year two work as a state financially and obviously content-wise and practice-wise. And then the Ohio ESC Association as well has been right at the table supporting this. So it was like not, you know, I am one of 51 ESCs across the state of Ohio. And so we were able through the Ohio ESC Association, bring all the ESCs. So all the regions across the Ohio were able to be a part of this work. So it's not just one person, you know, trying to lift. It was everyone doing the work. And in regards to the workforce side of things, everything just, it, again, all the stars are aligned and it just works out beautifully. We know that the students that we have in our classrooms today, the jobs, the careers, the work that they will be doing will look very different than the work that is currently offered and in existence today for, you know, for us. And so especially with the advancements in technology. And so as we have been really focused on what does workforce look like? How do we support our districts in ensuring our kids are future ready? Like, what does that mean? Like, we don't know what that looks like and what that means, but what we continue to hear from our industry folks is we need kids to come to us with skills. And so it's not necessarily content, and learning is obviously really important and understandings, but it's more every conversation that we've had, everyone says it's skills. I need them to be able to come with creative problem solving. I need them to be able to think critically. I need them to be able to actually like show up on time. I need them to have time management. So all of those skill pieces, which is also an approach that we're working on when we are starting to work with our districts on the AI pieces, because AI is transforming so quickly, and it's amazing the transformation. We're not asking people to be experts in AI. We're saying, listen, you need to have the skills to be able to utilize and discern what's good and what's right and when and how. And that's really the parallel that you see. If we can equip our kids with skills and the adults with the skills, they're going to be able to navigate whatever it is that the world is going to be hitting them with.
Amazing, Candace. And Candace, you just pretty much outlined the Delta 2030 study that was released by McKinsey. You know me, I would explain it in probably its most technical form. And Candace, you just explained it like, oh yeah, that is, yes. They would be like, Mike, what are you talking about? And Candace is like, yes. But Candace, you outlined domain three. There's four domains in it. Domain three is self-leadership and all of the skill indicators that you outlined specifically in this chronological order. I was thinking about it. I was like, Candace, this is highlighting domain three of the Delta 2030 study released by McKinsey. Absolutely great work. Skills. That's the key word, skills. How do we develop skills? Because again, you know, I was just talking to a superintendent in a rural context, and she's about to leverage this rural entrepreneurship pathway that underscores AI at the various tiers. Wow. First, I still need to know what does rural entrepreneurship look like and how do we integrate AI in these various dimensions within this industry of rural entrepreneurship. But skills, we're leveraging skills. And within my domain, within my 22nd century systems learner framework, I call it multi-environmental talents, which is skills as well. But Candace, imagine if I was one of your superintendents right now, okay? And I'm coming in, you know, trying to learn about this whole AI piece. I feel overwhelmed. I feel that my kids know more than me. I feel that my teachers are using all these tools, which is great, but I want to create some level set with the implementation of the tools. Candace, I'm one of your superintendents. What are the most practical strategies that you would provide me, any other superintendents, leaders, or teachers where we can employ systemic professional learning, because this is going to be ongoing over the time, with, I call it, two important verticals. You already stated it before, but I want you to go deeper into this. Building this level of readiness, literacy, and fluency to strengthen my instructional model, strengthen my teachers and my principals within my district.
What we are finding is that districts are in all different levels, and leaders leading this work, they have different approaches to their leadership style. And so we've really given a lot of autonomy to the folks, to our district leaders, our superintendents, our curriculum directors, our IT directors, whomever is a part of this task force. We do encourage districts to bring together a very diverse group of stakeholders to be a part of a task force or an AI task force, AI committee within their school to really start. And I do think at some point, we will no longer be saying AI like as a separate entity. I think it's going to be integrated in all that we do, but because it's so new and because we're all still trying to like grapple with like what in the world is happening, we do have it like siloed out in a sense, but I think it's going to become just part of the day to day. But the level of support, it varies dependent upon the leader. But what we are able to do is we're able to help with policy development protocols. So step-by-step methods for identifying and implementing AI policies in educational settings. We're able to support with educational resources, like what are some materials to help educators introduce AI concepts to students, making sure that they are prepared for job markets. Ethical guidelines, you know, that's the big piece. It's like considerations for student privacy, data security, ethical implications of AI in classrooms. When we're working with teachers, the big thing is like we need like teachers to understand, because the first response is, are kids cheating and how will we know? And so it's about like explicitly teaching kids how to use AI. So rather than like avoiding the elephant in the room and avoiding the conversation and just trying to have a gotcha moment with students, let's have real conversations with our kids. Our kids are pretty like intuitive, and they tell us like, hey, I really think that this should be used for this purpose, or I feel like that's crossing the line a little bit. So like having those real conversations with students and also having like very explicit lessons with our kids. But that puts our teachers out of their comfort zone. And so teachers have always had to be the experts in everything. And so asking them now to no longer, like, you don't have to be the expert, just a facilitator and a guide and like just a partner, like that's really difficult to get our teachers shifted from being, I have to be an expert before I can introduce anything to kids, to like, now we're saying, you don't need to be, don't be, like, let's just all be on the same playing field with our students and learn together. That's a different approach. Yeah, we have professional development. We support stakeholder groups, AI task force. We go in and we can be as involved as we need to be, or we can equip the leaders with everything they need and we can be invisible in the background, just feeding them whatever they need. Or I would like to say that I'm just really, I've just had the great opportunity. I'm a connector and just like, that's who I am as my style. And so I meet amazing people like you that I'm like, oh, listen, Dr. Connor has an amazing resource that would be really helpful for this problem you're trying to solve. And so just being able to know what's out there, the landscape, and then connecting people and then getting out of the way.
And Candace, that's sometimes our issue as educators and leaders, right? We don't get out of the way, right? When is that? Candace, I love your answer because I always use the example that we have to differentiate instruction by the educational needs for students. We have to be able to differentiate professional learning based on the baseline of where our leaders and teachers are and be able to create that differentiated learning to be able to advance specific policy or AI concepts that you were talking about. I always say andragogy and pedagogy, andragogy adult learning, same thing as students. We're just kind of just a little bit older, as I always like to say. But such an important Rubicon that you highlighted, which is the ethical implications of AI and the utility. I don't know, Candace, if I was in Ohio when I heard this, or was I was somewhere else, but I found it fascinating that they did research. And before AI implementation or integration, they found that students were cheating at the 70% level. Now, with AI readily available, ChatGPT, Claude, the actual cheating rate remained at 70% and even lower too in certain areas. So we come with this misconception that students are automatically cheating. But again, when we look at the research and the data where it's even lower or at that point of the baseline of where it was before, again, unwrapping ethical implications and implementation with students and for adults to know what this looked like with our students is very, very important. But you hit upon a concept that I think that needs to be really unpacked and interrogated, which is moving the practitioner from the expert to a facilitator. Right. I think that if we make that shift, the residual effect will be we will see more students engaged in their learning because, again, the locus control of their learning goes back to who? The student, not the adult. And Candace, for this next question, you know, and again, you know how I think from a systems level and always want to ensure that there's that level of alignment and coherence with all of the defined systems within our operating model. But a potential unintended consequence is eliciting incongruence with classroom instruction, meaning that, Candace, let's say that we have 20 teachers for a K-5 building and all 20 teachers are using 5 or more different AI tools, where now we're not seeing that alignment from classroom to classroom or vertical grade levels for that level of coherence. But with the potential to create misalignment in the context of tools and our students' learning needs matching them, what protocols or adopted processes should districts and schools underscore to ensure there is true coherence with new software tools and technologies?
Yeah, I think oftentimes, you know, in schools, because we are moving so quickly, and I think also like just the idea of there are so many tools readily at our like fingertips. So it's like we no longer like have to like purchase things necessarily, or there's not like high cost to some of these tools. So it's really difficult to keep that somewhat controlled or reined in. And I do go back to, if we equip our educators and our students and our leaders with the skills and understanding of how to discern when and how and what, then we're going to have less of the wild, wild west happening, because they're going to be like, oh no, that's not meeting this criteria. But it's going to take a little while to get there. So I think for us, you know, we also try to get our districts like, don't go heavy and feeling like you've got this pressure that you need to adopt a tool today. Like, don't feel like, oh gosh, everybody's on, you know, this wagon, or everybody's adopting this, I need to do this. You know, take some time as a task force or some subgroups and really start to like dig into what it is that that tool or that solution is solving for us. Like, how is it actually like solving a problem, or how is it really supporting learning? And, but I kind of equip it to, or equate it to, in Ohio, we've done amazing work at a state level with like high quality instructional materials. Like, there is a rubric for districts to use. So when they're going through curriculum adoptions, like, here are some look fors, here are some things to be mindful of. So we're kind of in the process of putting that together, like, for districts. Like, when you are starting to look at tools, first of all, don't just look at tools because that's what you're hearing about, but like, what problems are you having and how do we solve that? If you're having a lesson planning issue, or if you've got a teacher that's really struggling with time management, then let's try to find like what is out there that's going to support that teacher and or that group of teachers or your building in regards to personalization, you know, whatever it may be. But what is the problem that we're trying to solve? And then let's see what's out there.
Candace, phenomenal answer, because I think, and to my audience, that is an answer. Candace, we use VFE as an asynchronous professional learning tool, where now that when we talk about personalization of path, place, pace, and time, that our leaders that engage in VFE will be able to go back and place specific answers and break it down to adopt strategies within their professional repertoire. And to my audience, this is an answer that you want to be able to unpack that Candace specifically stated. There are two essential questions that I think every district need to underscore when it comes to AI tool adoption. One, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? I think before we even start thinking about adopting tools or looking at software, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? And then I think the second, this is my biases coming out, is how is it addressing student learning? If we are able to ask those two questions in this systematic kind of form, I think we'll be able to create that level of alignment and eliminate incongruence, right? Because there'll be intentionality behind it. Again, that's just my hypothesis. But I think every leader, every teacher, every superintendent, or every educational service center should ask those two questions before now we start investigating AI tools. What is the problem that we're trying to solve? And how is it addressing student learning? Well stated, Candace. So Candace, last question. You made it through VFE. You're not on the hot seat anymore. One of my past guests called me up, many of them called me up afterwards and say, man, this is harder than my superintendent, and or this is harder than, right, these questions. I'm like, come on, man, we on VFE.
Love it.
But Candace, last question now. Literally, people are rule breakers when it comes to this question. And it's very hard to limit you, Candace, or any of my previous guests to three words, just three words. So here's the question, but as I tell every guest that comes on here, take it as it is. What three words, but people break the rules, Candace, so don't mind it. What three words do you want our audience to leave with regarding AI and the AC stage of education after COVID-19?
Yeah, I think my first response that is really general would be like personalization, augmentation, and foresight. But I'm not going to go with those because those are too boring. And that's probably what everyone's going to say, Dr. Connor. So like learnerverse. So this blended universe where physical and digital learning worlds converge. So custom built by AI to meet each learner in their own orbit of curiosity, culture, and capability. Like, I think learnerverse, like that's a key when I think about AI and advancements. Human lift is my second word. AI as a force that elevates human brilliance. I think we're all worried like, oh, it's going to replace humans. Like, how do we use AI as a force that elevates human brilliance, not replaces it? From teachers to students, it's about lifting thinking, empathy, and creativity beyond those traditional limits. So that's what I mean by human lift. And then thirdly, I would say future sync. So the harmony of present actions with future demands. So thinking always, like always forward thinking, always thinking in the future. So AI empowers education systems to stay in step with a rapidly evolving world, ensuring that today's learning experiences are always, always aligned with tomorrow's opportunities for our educators and for our kiddos.
Absolutely. Candace, well stated. Learniverse, which is more on the lines of customly built for our learners. Human lift. I love that. Human lift with human brilliance. I always say that kind of like that Moore's law, right? How do we create this equilibrium? We always say with humans and machines and kind of like that technological world, which transition it to human intelligence with artificial intelligence in our classroom and leadership domains and future sync. We always have to be forward thinking. That's why I say the 22nd century education model, the future of education is right now. Ms. Candace Sears, thank you so much for coming on Voices for Excellence. To any of my audience or viewers that want to contact you regarding policy development, protocols, logic model implementation, checklists with regards to policy rules, or even adopting this learner-verse mindset and model, how would they be able to get in touch with you?
So I'm definitely on LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Candace Sears, or you're welcome to at the Montgomery County ESC's website, mcesc.org. You can find me there, or my email is easy. It's my first name dot last name at mcesc.org.
Thank you, Candace. And Candace, continue the great work, the national as well as state level impact and influence that you're having within the education ecosystem. I admire your work from afar as well as near. So again, your leadership signature is just one to be able to emulate specifically around this new domain and dimension of AI. So thank you, Candace, for coming on VFE, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for inviting me, and thank you for your continued work in this space as well.
Absolutely. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.